This is the Blaze Radio on demand.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services
at 800-600-1645. That's 800-600-1645. 800-600-1645.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Hello, America, and welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. Today, I want to start with a plea to sanity from Hollywood and from the left. They've just put a new video together, and it's been sweeping the internet, and I want to try to take a different approach on this. We begin there right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I'm going to start with a video, and I warn you, some of the things that you're going to hear in the next few minutes are really disturbing. This one is going to make blood shoot right out of your eyes. It is not a test. It is a full-fledged bleeding from the eyes alert. Your head may explode in the next few minutes. It is hard for us on this program, as you might know, to get through a segment, a clip of 20 seconds and not stop it and say something. This time, I'm using all of my restraint to let it play all the way through. This is the latest message from Hollywood.
Dear members of Congress.
Dear members of Congress.
Dear members of Congress.
Dear members of Congress.
I'm mad.
Flabbergasted.
Furious.
Concerned for my children.
I'm worried for everyone.
The majority of Americans, regardless of who they voted for,
did not vote for racism,
for sexism, or for xenophobia.
And yet Donald Trump won.
And since he won,
hate crimes are rising.
Women have been attacked in his name.
People of color attacked in his name.
You represent us in Congress.
You are our last line of defense.
So here's what we ask of our elected officials.
No, here's what we demand.
To the extent that Trump pursues racist,
sexist, anti-immigrant,
anti-worker, anti-Muslim, anti-Semitic,
anti-environmental policies,
we demand that you vigorously oppose him.
We demand that you block nominees who threaten the rights of women,
the LGBT community,
people of color, immigrants, and the poor.
And we want you to know that we are with you.
As long as you do that stuff, we won't remain silent.
We won't remain silent.
We won't remain silent.
We'll work harder to mobilize our votes
and our communities.
Good. But we need you.
And we expect you to have our backs.
To protect our civil liberties
and to use your congressional powers
to obstruct.
To obstruct.
Obstruct. Obstruct. Defeat.
Anything.
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 Anything
that violates our core values as diverse Americans.
Signed.
The majority.
The majority.
The majority.
The majority.
The majority.
The majority
of the American people.
I don't even know where to begin on this one. There is so much to say. Let me start here. Just a few short years ago, there was another video that was released where they were pledging allegiance to the president, not to Congress. Listen.
I pledge
to be a servant to our president.
Okay, so we were a servant. I pledge to be a servant of the president. That is so unbelievably unconstitutional and flatly un-American. I've never heard anything like it. This came out right after President Barack Obama was elected. And it scared many of us to the core because even George Washington warned against it. He was a guy who they wanted to make king. And he said, no man should serve more than two terms. And we do not pledge our allegiance to a president. I don't do it to Trump. I wouldn't do it to Reagan. I wouldn't do it to Obama. You don't do it. It's un-American. I wouldn't pledge my life to serve Abraham Lincoln. And this is the problem in America. We must pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor to serve the principles of the Constitution. And that's what they're talking about here. They're saying you have to obstruct anything that violates our civil liberties. Well, where do your liberties come from? Your liberties come from the Constitution. And that's what we've been warning against for so long. We should never cede this much power. This is what I've been saying for 15 years. You don't give this much power to any man, ever. Never to the President of the United States because, and if I may quote myself from the last 12 years, the next guy in office may not be a guy you like. And he could reverse everything and now target you. But that fell on deaf ears to many in the progressive movement. People ask me all the time, what can we possibly come together on? Well, let me throw an easy one on how divided we are and how much trouble we're in if we remain divided and we continue down this path. I think even the most lefties of leftists will say that's true. Unless your goal is revolution, which I have audio. We're not going to be able to put all this audio in this audio tape or in this monologue. I will get to it later. I have audio of students in Boston, again, calling for revolution. An end to white power. And they're white kids. And they will do anything, 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 to quote the Hollywood, anything to get it done. For months, I have been begging people on the left, please don't make the same mistakes that I made during the last two elections. I've talked to the New York Times about it. I've talked to Charlie Rose on, I talked to NPR in one of the worst interviews done by the most unprofessional journalist I have ever encountered. I've talked to Rolling Stone magazine. I've talked to Samantha Bee. Why? Because I know how the rhetoric feels. I learned my lesson 3 years ago. It's not what I said, it's how I said it many times. And it makes people feel horrible, and it makes them want to strike back. Now, that's the way we felt for 8 years. Now, you're in that position. I've tried to remind you on the left what you were saying to me 8 years ago. How have you forgotten so soon? Do you remember how you felt in 2008 and 2009 when many of us on the right said, we're really worried for the future of our country? We're worried that this president is gaining so much power he could become a dictator. That we worried that a guy who had socialist or Marxist leanings and had been surrounded by actual communists his entire life and who shared his admiration for central principles of Marxism, like the redistribution of wealth, when he said those things during the campaign and then elected to president of the United States, we said, wait a minute, he's espousing Marxist attitudes, something that is absolutely in 180 degrees different direction than the Constitution and the founding of the United States. And what were you calling me? What were you calling people on the right? You first called us racists, then we were McCarthyites, then we were on a witch hunt, then we were crackpots, conspiracy theorists. Why? Conspiracy theorists because I believe we're in such a fragile situation that the President of the United States could make a move on the global scale that could throw us into World War III, or he could make moves that would throw us into economic depression. But that was a conspiracy theory. But now those are the things you're worried about. And there are people on the right who think those have all been solved. They haven't been solved. No man can solve these problems. Only the Constitution can solve these problems. Now you're on the other side of it. And you're doing the same thing I did. You're making the same mistakes that I made. I want you to hear carefully. I do not take back a single concern that I had over the last 12 or 15 years. Not one. But as I've said over and over again, the way I went about expressing those concerns didn't work. It made things worse. And now you're doing it. But this time, there are two factors that I didn't have. A, experience of seeing it play all the way through. And B, a country that is even more fragile than it was 8 years ago. To those who are listening, to those who will actually hear, who want to hear, we need to have a conversation with each other. But it must start with, this is how I feel when you say these things. Because too many people, and part of this is self-selection, we're surrounded by people who we can say crazy things to each other, and we know what each other means. You're so surrounded by people who think like you that you just think it's okay to say these when half the country feels really offended because you're saying we're xenophobes, we hate people, we're on a we're on a witch hunt, we just are horrible racists that hate children. That's what we've been told. We're not that, and that's hurt us, and it has made us angry. We have the opportunity now to not treat you the way you treated us. We have the opportunity to be the first to come with an olive branch and say, forgive me of my sins. Please, let me help you navigate these waters so you don't put a dagger in the hearts of people who want this to end. We did not vote for racism. We didn't vote for sexism or xenophobia. And you're exactly right. In your little message, you're exactly right. America did not vote for that. Nobody, well, maybe a few people. I'll bet you 10,000 people in a country of 330 million voted for that. But I don't know anybody personally that did, including Donald Trump, because Donald Trump didn't run on those things. I have never claimed that Donald Trump was a racist. I have claimed that Donald Trump has scary connections, or he dismisses connections to the alt-right, and I don't understand his relationship with Vladimir Putin, who is a dangerous, frightening man. But I don't have any evidence that he is a racist, that he is a xenophobe. Even his staunchest supporters would admit that he has said stupid things. Even the people who voted for him, campaigned for him, and love him and will defend him will say, I wish he'd stop saying some of the things that he says. They didn't vote for racism or xenophobia. They voted for what they believe is just a common sense, bring things back to where we can talk to each other, say honest things to one another, stop being so politically correct, and yes, say that America is a good place. Remember, Michelle Obama said for the first time in her life, she was proud of her country. For the first time in her life, she was proud of her country. Over the holiday, Michelle Obama just said, America is once again hopeless. What is she saying? My husband is the only one that can save this country. That's what we hear. I don't know if that's what she meant, but that means, but that's what we hear. And that doesn't make us feel good. Hollywood, the people in this ad, make the claim that women, Muslims, and people of color are being attacked in Donald Trump's name, and that hate crimes are on the rise. Well, I'm going to get to fake news here in a little while, but if fake news is a concern to you right now, and it sure seems to be right now, Please don't spread your own, because this is incredibly dangerous. Where did the news come out that in his name, hate crimes are on the rise, that people of color are being attacked in his name, that women and Muslims are being attacked? Because I had never heard of anybody being attacked in Donald Trump's name. I had seen the Trump supporters attacked, and I'm not saying that it hasn't happened. I had just never heard of it. So we looked it up. Where did this claim come from? Well, one source. I'll give you this and the rest of this dissection here in just a second. And I come to people today who voted for Hillary Clinton or voted another way, and the people who voted for Donald Trump, with the same message. We're better than this. But it takes both sides to be able to have reconciliation. One side can't do it alone. One side is not the problem here. Both sides are.
We have won. The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services
at 800-600-1645. That's 800-600-1645. 800-600-1645.
888-727-BACK.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
So I did research last night because the mainstream media is reporting, and Hollywood is reporting, that people that, quote, women, Muslims, and people of color are being attacked in Donald Trump's name, and that hate crimes are on the rise. They say fake news is important. So here's where we, doing our research, this is where this came from. From one AOL report.
CARE of New York, also known as the Council on American Islamic Relations, says it is alarmed by the dramatic increase in hate crimes against Muslim Americans since the November 8th election. The latest one Thursday, when an 18-year-old Muslim woman was attacked by three men as she was riding the 6th subway train near 23rd Street. Police say the attackers tried to remove her hijab, her religious garb, called her a terrorist, shouted President-elect Donald Trump's name, and told her to get out of the country.
The president-elect has truly normalized anti-Muslim bigotry in a way that we have never seen before.
Since the election, more than 100 anti-Muslim incidents have occurred across the country, according to CARE, and almost 1,000 incidents targeting different minority groups have been documented by the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Okay, so were police the source of this information? No. The FBI? No. Homeland Security? No. Who was? It was CARE, the Islamic organization that was named an unindicted co-conspirator in the Holy Loudoun Foundation terrorist trial, and the Southern Poverty Law Center that recently named David Barton a terrorist. Now, you may say that they are, you know what, okay, they're not necessarily impartial, but they have some credibility. If you're on the left, you might say that. But I would believe any informed individual in America, 60, 70% of all Americans will say, if you only have those two sources, that's a problem. Especially when you have this from KTLA.
Starting off this half hour with some breaking news right now. The 18-year-old Muslim woman who claimed she was harassed and attacked by three drunk men on the subway apparently made up the entire story.
That woman, you saw her face there. Her name is Yasmin Saweed. She's at a police station right now and is being charged with obstruction and filing a false report.
Stop.
Wait, what?
Wow. We have also seen on television,
wow,
Black Lives Matter on the way to a Donald Trump rally, blocking freeways, throwing people at Trump supporters. I'm not saying everybody's angels here, but let's have some perspective on what's really going on. More in a minute.
We are one.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
So America, I want to pick up. I'm asking for the people on the left, and I want you to share this with your friends who may be on the left. Share with them the idea that maybe we're all making the same mistakes. Could somebody please hook this up for me? We're making all of the same mistakes. Quickly, please. And we're repeating the last 8 years, except we've all just traded places. That's all we've done. Mm-hmm. Just trade places. Hollywood has come out with this, we've got to obstruct the president and stop him because he's a racist xenophobe and his supporters are, and we didn't vote for that. Then they include some fake news. Fake news is not just a problem for the right. Now, I admit I am an imperfect messenger for almost all of this monologue, and I get that. But can we please just look at fake news for a second? I brought in these. These are two copies, two volumes, copies from 1924 from the extraordinarily liberal organization, the New York Historical Society. And you know how liberal they can, or how conservative they are.
Oh, sure.
This is the Historic Society. So this is not a left-right kind of thing. Historic Society. Two volumes out of a set. And they are the two volumes covering 1776 to 1778.
So 2 years?
2 years. 1779. 3 years.
3 years. Okay.
3 years. The Minutes of the Committee and the First Commission for Detecting Conspiracies. These are the documented fake news stories of the American Revolution, where
wow.
where George Washington is actually making a secret deal with the king. Fake news is not new.
I didn't even know that was a claim back then.
Oh, the pamphleteers.
I'd never heard of that.
We had pamphleteers that we
wow.
know, Thomas Paine.
Right.
We had pamphleteers with false charges against the entire thing, and it was all funded by the king.
Yeah, the British.
The British.
Trying to
so
stop the movement.
Fake news is not new.
Mm.
But is it important? Yes, it is. But you won't have any credibility unless you point out the fake news of your own side. We try to do that. It's why sometimes we're not popular in our own circles, because we hold people's feet to the fire on our side and say, no, that's not what you said, Congressman. That's not what you said, Senator. That's not what you've done. That's not what we're for. And it doesn't make you popular. Well, somebody on the left has to start doing it to their own side. Right now, Dan Rather is calling for truth, a truth squad. Let's make sure we have a truth squad. Now, is this just one side or the other? Because I think one of the principles that can bring us together is truth. Well, who's the arbiter of truth? That's what you'll say. Well, the facts are the arbiter of truth. And the facts are pretty clear. They've been clear for a long time. Sometimes people get a little ahead of themselves. There's no evidence because it hasn't happened yet. But are they proven right or wrong? For instance, does anybody remember, as we are now looking at people like Dan Rather and the New York Times and everybody else saying that we must use the word liar for the president. Do you remember when the president was giving a State of the Union address and he was talking about health care? And there was some part of the health care package, there were many parts that turned out to be lies, but somebody stood up, inappropriately so, in the State of Union address because he couldn't take it anymore and said this.
This, too, is false. The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegal.
You lie.
He said you lie. He didn't say you're a liar. He said you lie. As it turns out, we now know it was a lie.
Yes.
It was a lie.
Yes.
But do you remember the outcry? How dare call the president a liar? Now the right or the left is starting to say we must call Donald Trump a liar. Well, was it right then and wrong then and right now? And if so, why, other than your guy isn't the guy? It is important to point out when somebody is lying, and we do it. But we do it on both sides of the aisle. And that's the difference. You have to be willing to say, you know, I get kudos now for saying, you know, Michelle Obama gave a great speech, a stirring speech, one of the best speeches I've heard, possibly since Reagan. Does that mean I endorse Michelle Obama? Does that mean that I believe everything that Michelle Obama says? No. She gave a great speech. The reason why that's a news story is because most people aren't honest enough to see the positives in somebody they disagree with. Or they're not honest enough to say, wait a minute, this guy broke the law and is leaking illegal documents out, and we've always been against him. Now, because he's helping my guy, I'm not suddenly for him. Dan Rather, nor anyone else on the left, called Barack Obama a liar. Even when he lied at least 37 times about this.
You can keep your plan if you are satisfied with it.
If you like the plan you have, you can keep it.
If you like your plan and you like your doctor, you won't have to do a thing.
I don't think I need to play all 37 of them. This was PolitiFact's lie of the year. He also lied repeatedly and demonstrably about the ridiculous anti-Muslim YouTube video that he said was the cause of the Benghazi nightmare. People died with that lie. People died. Our own ambassador died with this lie. I could go on with more, but I think you get the point. Yes, our side has lied. I'm horrified by what our side has done. I didn't think we played this game, but we do. Okay? I'll admit it. Will you admit that about your side? The Republicans in Congress have been hammered for the last 8 years for obstructing the president's agenda because the president was duly elected by the people. He's our president. Get over it. You don't obstruct. And now, somehow, obstruction is in vogue. It's desirable. It's sought after in any way.
Congressional powers.
To obstruct.
To obstruct.
Obstruct. Obstruct. Defeat.
Anything.
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 Anything that violates our core values as diverse Americans.
We were told for the last 8 years to respect the president. And I will tell you that there were times that I failed to respect the president. I get that. Donald Trump is not my guy. He's not my guy. I don't agree with him. But he is my president, and he is your president now. And when he begins to do things that actually are unconstitutional or taking away people's civil liberties, I will join you. But he hasn't done any of that now. A campaign is different than the actual service in office. You told us that Barack Obama had been elected by the will of the people. You said our reactions to Obama being elected were crazy. Do you remember that? You're blowing things out of proportion. It's crazy. Well, here's a couple of reactions for Donald Trump being elected.
Joke. I cannot believe this is happening. I literally am gonna die. I need an ambulance. I can't believe.
So congratulations, America. You have now elected a misogynistic, racist guy into power.
America is crying tonight. I'm not sure how much of America, but a very, very significant portion, and I mean literally crying.
Everybody is crying and so upset, and it is the end of their world.
Feels like the end of the world.
We were on Lifetime last night, right. And I was slowly getting drunk is what happened to me.
How did this happen? Experienced politician versus racist fake gynecologist.
Get your abortions now.
Okay, I only play this because I want to show you that I can find the same kind of reactions that you didn't understand when we elected a guy who said this in his campaign.
She is a typical white person who, you know, if she sees somebody on the street that she doesn't know, you know, there's a reaction that's been bred into our experiences.
Yeah. Okay, so we're breeding racism into white people. That's quite a statement. And by the way, that was followed closely by they have a real antipathy for people that are different than them, and that's why they cling to their God and their guns. That made us feel very uncomfortable. And then I did the unspeakable thing. I took his words and I said, you know what? I mean, does this guy hate white people? Is he a racist? And it wasn't a charge. It was, I'm beginning to think that's what this is. I was trying to figure him out. I wasn't throwing a bomb. It was the biggest mistake, I think, of my career, because I wasn't sure. I was thinking out loud. I don't know. Is he? He says white people have this fear bred into them. If I said that about a black man, that would definitely be racist. If I said just white people just cling to their God and their guns, if I said that about black people, they just cling to their God and whatever, I would be called a racist. That is stereotypical racism. And we've seen this now on the side with Donald Trump when he says things, well, they're just rapists and they're criminals coming over. Well, that can be construed as stereotypical racism. Here's the thing. Every day, every interview I do, somebody brings up that quote from me. But by talking, I said, just said in an interview.
8 years later.
I said in an interview yesterday, somebody said, well, is there, what about the quote you said about the president? I said, that was 8 years ago. Do you realize that people on the left are saying that about this president right now? And you don't have a problem with it because it's not your guy. They're trying to understand how did this happen? Because I only see him as a racist. But that's not how half the country sees him. But we were somehow or another conspiracy freaks or horrible human beings because we were trying to figure this out. And now you are. You're doing the same thing. Stop it, please. I beg you. Stop it. Let's have a reasonable, rational discussion, because I claim 30% of this country doesn't give a flying crap. 30% of this country would like to see the progressives or the conservatives just knocked out of power and I don't ever have to listen to them again. But 60, 70, 80% of Americans are tired of this. They're tired of it. We're better than this. We are not our president. To claim the United States is hopeless because Barack Obama is out of office, or totally hopeful and everything is fixed because Donald Trump is in office. They are both ridiculous. America is bigger than the man, whomever he is, that sits in that office. We're the ones who are making the decisions. We're the ones who really control it. Because it's not what happens to you, it's how you react.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BACK.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program. We have one of the more disturbing stories that I've heard in a long time. If it is what it is being reported. There were four people that took a man who is mentally handicapped or deficient in some way, apparently, and we know that what they were doing, they did it live on Facebook. They were so proud of it. And they beat him and tortured him because he was a supporter, apparently, of Donald Trump. And it's absolutely horrifying. And if this is who we are, if this is who we're going to be and not really say, wait a minute, what is causing that? We are destined to be in the dustbin, and we should be. That story coming up.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.